Welcome to Film Broad C, a podcast for women who want to learn how to write and produce a film they love. If you're a newbie writer or filmmaker, or an actress who's tired of auditions for one-dimensional roles, if you're overseeing yet another badly written script from a mediocre white man and you want to do something about it, you're in the right place. Get inspired by the pioneering women of the golden age of Hollywood through to today's changemakers and disruptors with practical how-tos to finally write and produce your damn script already. I'm your host, Emily Grace. Welcome to the show. It's Emily Grace, and I'm so excited to share this very special bonus episode of Film Broad. See? This episode will present a very important conversation with Natalie Necky-Ferro. She's a former student of mine. She's a filmmaker and actress embarking on the process of self-producing her project, The Spark. Natalie and I have a conversation about some of the uncomfortable things that can come up when your project is deeply personal, when the subject matter may be ruffling feathers, if you're someone who is pushing the envelope through your art. And not everyone, sometimes even in your immediate circle, is a fan of what you're doing. Now, I'm such a huge proponent of the power of film to help us connect, to help us evolve. And it's also a way that holds up a mirror to ourselves, to our society, and it can be a very powerful catalyst for change. But the process of change is uncomfortable. People don't like to change, and they certainly don't like to change when it's not by their own choice. And yet change is essential. This is a podcast about empowerment, about helping you take ownership of your own story, about showcasing the things that matter to you. And it's also a podcast to celebrate pioneering women who broke the mold, who trailblazed their own path. Sometimes when you are that pioneer, there's a lot of backlash that comes. There's a lot of criticism and judgment and misunderstanding. Now, the era that we live in, we get the benefit of so many pioneers who paved the way for us to make these things possible and simpler. And yet, as you'll see in my interview with Natalie, not everyone is going to love your story. And how do you deal with that? How do you continue to rise to the challenge and stay positive? Because backlash doesn't mean it's time to dim your light and shut down and stop what you were doing. Backlash, in my opinion, is a great indicator that you're doing something right. If people feel a specific type of way about your project, you're probably doing something right. So before we dive into this conversation, I want to give you a couple of quick updates. So The Pigeon Watch, this is the short film that I wrote that I am self-producing and will star in. We are gearing up for our crowdfunding campaign. This is essential that you support this campaign. If you get value from this podcast, if you've learned anything from being in my orbit, now is the time for you to show your appreciation through a financial contribution. So you can go to writeyourshort.com to follow along our journey to bring the pigeon to life. Our crowdfunding campaign launches May 14th and it will run for 30 days. So at any point between May 14th and whatever 30 days later is, you have an opportunity to contribute. Any contribution matters. If you have $5 to give, please give your $5. We will happily say yes, accept, and receive it. If you don't have money to give, but you can spread the word on social media or talk to specific people in your circle that you think would resonate with the topic, please do so. This is not the time to go, oh, that's cool, maybe I'll donate, and then completely forget about it. So before you forget, go to writeyourshort.com, find the button that connects you to follow along with the journey for the pigeon, and thank you in advance for your financial contribution. And I also have a free gift for you as a podcast listener. Last week, I created a very special companion guide specifically for season one of this podcast. It's called the Season One Essential Companion Guide. Very on the nose, but The point of it is to help you take what you're learning in this podcast and go even deeper. I've included some very powerful free resources, and I've also included a resource from one of my paid programs. Normally, you would have to pay to get your hands on this resource, but it is my free gift to you as a podcast listener. One of the things that it's going to help is give you a visual representation of some of the things that we talk about here on the podcast. One of the videos is a character analysis of the protagonist and antagonist of The Devil Wears Prada, so you can actually see the visual scene as we talk through it. So on this podcast, we talk about that project a lot, and you're just hearing it. This is an opportunity to see what I'm talking about visually on screen. And there are a bunch of other resources as well that I know you're going to love. So you can also go to writeyourshort.com to get that essential companion guide. It's completely free. It is my gift to you as a podcast listener. And I think it's really going to be something that you'll benefit from. So without further ado, let me introduce you to my guest, Natalie Necky-Ferro. She is a New York City actress, writer, and producer who tells stories about women getting in touch with their truth, challenging the status quo, and stepping into their full expression. She's also an award-winning co-producer for the web series Redheads Anonymous, and she is the writer, producer, and star of the upcoming short film, The Spark. Please enjoy this fascinating conversation with Natalie. All right. This show is sponsored by Write Your Short. If you want to write and produce a script that you love, but you don't know how to get started, go to writeyourshort.com. Don't create in a vacuum or try to figure this out all by yourself. Learn how to write a festival-worthy script you can produce or star in or direct or wear all those hats at once. With writeyourshort.com, you can get the exact next steps you need to take based on where you're at in the process. No guesswork, self-doubt, or overwhelm. Just a proven process to make the most powerful film possible. That's writeyourshort.com. And now, back to the show. Natalie Necky-Ferro, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to get to talk to you today.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited because we've been working together on this and also been working together for a really long time. So it feels really wonderful to be able to have this conversation together at this point in my project.
It's so exciting. And how long has it been since you went from idea to where we are now?
It's a little hard to articulate exactly because I was definitely thinking about writing a short film towards the beginning of 2023. So when you offered Short Film Lab, I was like, well, this is a no-brainer because I'm really ready to do this. So I think I had a lot of ideas floating around, but nothing on paper until I met with Melanie, who, you know, also works with you, and started trying to get my idea before we went into that short film lab weekend. So that was probably like late April or early May of last year. So it's been, you know, about a year, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. And tell us a little bit about your idea. What inspired it? What is your film about? What's the title?
Sure. So my film is called The Spark, and it follows the journey of PR associate Lily as she gets assigned the book launch for a Tantra expert. The book is called A Reignite the Spark, A Good Girl's Guide to Tantra. And
this is a fictional book.
Yes, this is a fictional book. and so, you know, so in the process of working on this launch, Lily sort of discovers all the ways that she's been kind of asleep in her own life. So, you know, she's feeling disconnected from her husband. She had this dream for her career as in PR, but she hasn't really been pursuing it or getting to the next level. This is her first book launch. So she's really reconnecting to what she wants. And this it all happens through the device of, so it's a sort of dream version of the author that shows up and starts to sort of coach her through this process of trying to reignite the spark with her husband. And she's a little bit blinded, like she does a lot of things really wrong. But eventually she does sort of have a lot of realizations and is able to step into her power and recognize what she really wants, both in her work life and in her personal life.
I think that's such a, I think that topic resonates with so many people, period. And I think timing wise, it's so interesting that it was like around 2023 that you really started to work on it, because it's like sort of kind of still in the pandemic, which I think was a very confronting time for a lot of people. I don't know if this has anything to do with what brought your idea to the forefront, but you know, all that time at home, and it was a very confronting time of what am I doing with my life, and is this enough, and do I feel satisfied? Ooh, and I just looked at the clock, it's 11:11.
Oh, so magical.
Like right in the flow. So it's interesting. You know, I think this is a topic that so many people can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the immediate reason for me writing the film was because I went through a divorce last year. And as I was getting towards the end of my marriage and made that decision to make that change in my life, it was hard because on paper, you know, my marriage looked great. Like, I'm still very good friends with my ex-husband. But, you know, we had really changed and what we wanted really changed. And it just, and so that sort of recognition of there were all these little ways where I was subtly making myself small, not really living my authentic life to try to maintain my marriage. And it's not like it was anyone's fault. It's just, you know, we get conditioned as women to behave a certain way. And we get conditioned about marriage in a certain way as well. And it's like, to be in a really more or less progressive marriage where, you know, it's like I wasn't doing like all the cooking or in all the cleaning in my house. In fact, my ex probably would have liked me to do a lot more cleaning than I did. but it was really about sort of the subtle ways where I, you know, fell into, you know, traps around this idea that I think a lot of us still buy into accidentally, maybe not on purpose, which is like marriage is sacrifice. And so really it was like a lot of it was about exploring just, you know, what it's like to really live into your full authentic expression. And then the tantra thing came to me in like a weird vision. And I was like, okay, what's this? And I had to do my own research. I had to do my own exploration, because I really, honestly, when I started writing this script, I was like, I feel like it needs to be about tantra, but I don't even really know that much about tantra myself. But I did have this sense that tantra is something that, similarly to the way women show up in the world, tantra is also something that's very misunderstood, especially in Western culture. And, you know, it's related to sex, you know, and the people don't really recognize that there's a whole philosophy around it, and that there's so much more to tantra than just sexual practices. Like, that's part of it, but it's such a small part of it. And really is about being more present, which I think, you know, resonates throughout the story and is something that's really essential if you're going to really live into what you want in your life and really go after what you want in your life. It requires a level of being in your body that, unfortunately, in modern culture, we tend to not see or do as much of, you know?
Yeah. And I remember when you were developing this project in the short film lab, we had those conversations of, you know, what are Raven's pillars? What are the philosophies? What are the teachings that she's imparting? And how you took that feedback and created this whole aspect of the script. I don't know if it made it into the final draft, but it just was really fun, like the fictional book within the script for the film was a really fun aspect to watch you develop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's so much. It's like I've realized that as an artist, there's like no separating different parts of my life from who I am and vice versa. So part of my big transformation during the pandemic was that I started getting trained as a life coach, and then ultimately like started exploring energy work and embodiment stuff and like all kinds of kind of feeds back into this. And so I think like creating the book was like sort of an expression of that. It's not the kind of coach that I am, but it was like, you know, what are the things that help us be more embodied and really connect to what we want, and how and where were the, and I definitely was like kept looking back to, you know, tantra and books and resources that I found, because I wanted it to feel as authentic as possible. When I'm definitely not a tantra expert. People study and work with these philosophies for, you know, decades, but I really wanted to stay as truthful to it as possible while being able to tell an entertaining and fun story where people can kind of see themselves and laugh at themselves and, you know, be open to like seeing things in a slightly different way.
And I think this is such a great example of a personal experience that you went through. You know, you were going through the decision to end your marriage and really feeling like you weren't quite living your authentic self, and then finding a way to turn that into this fictional script that is deeply personal to you, yet also will resonate with so many other people. And, you know, I just have to acknowledge you for the courage that it takes to have a marriage that's working, that's fine, but also feeling like really listening to whatever that inner voice was that said, actually, I want something different. I think that's a very difficult decision for anybody to make. It takes a lot of courage. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. And also, you mentioned earlier, you know, there's elements of Tantra, which is widely misunderstood. And now that you're in the, you know, you're in pre-production, you're in a crowdfunding process, how have some of the reactions to your film been?
Well, first, I want to thank you so much for acknowledging my journey with my divorce, because, you know, it has been weird and strange to kind of have a divorce where people don't necessarily understand the why, because it's not a traditional thing. So thank you for acknowledging that. And I just want to give that a voice, because seeing other women do what I was doing was what gave me the courage to take that step. So if anyone's listening who needs to hear that, I want them to be able to hear that. And, you know, the reaction from my film and the way that I'm promoting it was pretty surprising to me. I think going into starting crowdfunding, I was most concerned with my ability to speak openly and frankly about my own experience, about my divorce, but also the sort of journey that I've been on to reconnect to sensuality and pleasure as a woman, which I feel like was very detached from me. I was brought up Catholic, and it was definitely not something that I really explored when I was younger. So I felt like it was more like a journey for me of like, how can I step into really fully owning this version of myself that is actually quite different than maybe what people expect from me? Because I think a lot of us are, you know, when we make ourselves small, it's because we're worried about what other people are going to think of us, you know? And so I was most concerned about feeling that. I was less concerned about people judging me. I was actually more concerned about being able to fully step into that. But I did, and I'd say like it's pretty probably, you know, mostly people have been really inspired and thought that my work was really courageous and really admired that I'm putting myself out in this bold way. And when you hopefully go and watch our crowdfunding video, you'll see like what that looks like. I'm not going to tell you in this interview because I want you to go see it. But I did get some backlash from people, and I got a couple of curtly worded emails that basically told me that the way that I've chosen to market this film was in poor taste and inappropriate, and that they did not appreciate it, and to please stop marketing my film and asking for support in this way. And, you know, what's weird is that even though I always felt really strongly that this is a story that needs to be told, it still hit me like in a really ick kind of way, because I think like, you know, there are probably a lot of other people out there that agree with these people who emailed me, right? But they didn't take that next step to send the message, right? So I think that it sort of just speaks to this weird dichotomy that we live in, particularly in the United States, you know, with, you know, all these puritanical roots and like the way we think about sex in this country and the way we think about pleasure in this country and even like the way it's different for women than it is for men. But, you know, it's like, so it was very shocking and upsetting in my system, but I also just like felt really even more like, this is why this film matters, because the people who are out there who are wanting to silence this and shut this down, you know, they have their reasons and that's fine. But I really believe that there's so much of our empowerment as women, but I think as all humans, like to be able to fully be fully expressed in a sexual way and have that it's human, it's biology, right? It's like to attach shame and blame around that is really not healthy for anyone, and not for healthy for us mentally, but also not healthy for us physically. So,
yeah. And this is why I was so excited to have this conversation with you, is because what you said, like this type of response and this backlash, you could easily have taken that on and like taken on the shame around sexuality and the, oh, I should not step out of my box and just be quiet and like go back to the people pleasing and the conditioning, right? It could be easy to be triggered to actually go in the opposite direction. But I'm so glad and happy for you that it's really triggering the opposite of like, no, this is exactly why this story needs to be told, because female pleasure, female authenticity and empowerment and stepping into like your full, you know, sexual power is creative power. It is the literal power of creativity. And when a woman is fully embodied and fully expressed in that way, of course, there's going to be a backlash of like, oh, that's too scary. Like, put her back in the box where it's safe. So I could really go off on a soapbox. I really could. So rather than getting enraged and just stewing in those feelings, I just so want to commend you for, again, the courage that it takes to put a story like this out there in the face of direct, like, people trying to make you dim your light and get you to shut up, and so that they don't have to face whatever it is that it's triggering with them within them. So I really want to commend you for doing that. And for anyone who's listening, to encourage you to follow that intuitive voice and really lean into those things that might feel uncomfortable or dangerous, not like physically dangerous, but like artfully dangerous, because those are the stories that are needed. Those are the stories that are empowering and affect change and help us evolve and grow. So that, you know, I'm sorry that you are having to go through that as part of this exciting moment of this project that you've been with for such a long time and put so much passion and work into. And let that just keep being a catalyst for you to keep going.
I definitely look at that at it in that way. And I think, you know, it's interesting. We haven't, you know, talked a little too much about the crowdfunding process yet, but, you know, I've done other kinds of funding before, not specifically crowdfunding, for some other projects that I've worked on. And, you know, you first reach out to the people who supported your work in the past. And so I did that. And I've definitely had some people come through for me from that group, but it was a much smaller group of people who've already come through for me from that group than I expected. And, you know, I could sit there and be upset about that, but I also look at it as an opportunity, right? Because there's an audience for this film. I know there's an audience for this film, and it's okay if that audience isn't my pre-existing audience. And so what it is sort of encouraging me to do and helping me do is that, you know, stepping out of the box even further, like, you know, being willing to be more visible, being willing to get this message out there in a different way. And I think what's so interesting about the sort of premise of this film is it actually starts with someone who's not super connected to her sexuality. So it's not designed to be this like crazy, wild, like deeply sexual film. Like it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's kind of in the vein of rom-com or anti-rom-com. Like, you know, it's light and it's fun. And there's definitely depth to it. Like, we're not shying away from the difficulty of moving in through a relationship and recognizing that's not what you want anymore. But this is not like, you know, it's definitely not porn. That's for sure.
No, it's not. Yeah, I think rom-com is the right.
Even if you're someone who's like, well, actually, maybe I want to explore my sexuality a little bit more, but I'm uncomfortable with that. So the entry point, you don't have to already feel like fully expressed or fully in that experience to be able to enjoy this film. It's like also asking us to, like, you know, be like, oh, maybe I'm uncomfortable too. And why is that? And and what's possible for me, even if I move the needle just one inch, you know? And so I think that's kind of what's fun and interesting about this story too, is that it comes from a place of moving from discomfort towards feeling more comfort. Like, she's definitely not, you know, fully there at the end of the short, right, for sure. You
right.
know?
It's a short film, right? It's a small transformation, but it's a transformation nonetheless.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
There's so much we could dive into with this. But, you know, art is a mirror. It holds up a mirror, and sometimes there are things that are uncomfortable. They're too uncomfortable for you to look at. And like that kind of a strong response, I always think is like, should be seen as you're doing something right when you're triggering someone at that level. Not, I mean, you're not setting out to trigger people, yeah, right? That's, yeah. You're not like trying to upset people. You're just telling an authentic story that resonates for you. And it's just so interesting when people do get triggered, because I always see that as like, well, I must be doing something right then.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's weird too, because when I started writing the film, it was like the idea of Lily trying to get her husband, Mark, to like just have sex with her, you know, it was like, and to me, that was like, oh, that's really funny. And then she's bad at it and like whatever else. And in the process of writing it, it became like a much deeper thing. And I think that's by design, right? So, but I didn't know when I was writing this film that it was going to be so controversial. Like, I had no clue, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in our feedback groups, as you were developing it, I don't think you ever got feedback of like, whoa. I mean, we're all artists and,
right,
you know, right, certainly have a different lens on life than maybe just the average corporate person, for example. You know, artists, I think, in general, are just more open-minded, more connected to their authentic self, because that's part of your training to be able to express. But I guess it's when you say out loud, it's, you know, it's partially about discovering female pleasure. Of course, there's going to be fucking backlash. Like, of course, there's no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, the predictable, of course. But I was surprised too when we were talking, you know, a couple of days ago about the project, because it never stood out to me as like, whoa, this is like really pushing the envelope. It is like rom-com vibe, great story. Like, it's a cute story. So it's interesting just how easily people's feathers get ruffled. But, and, you know, it's interesting that you've had projects in the past that you had a higher level of support than this particular one. You're in the transformation right now. Like, you are transforming and expanding, and not everyone is going to want to come along on that journey. It's too out of vibration for them. It's too confronting for them, whatever it is. So it's really interesting. Like, you're literally in the transformation right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like that's, you know, that's the weird thing about journey as a writer, as an artist. It's that, you know, each phase of the project forces you to grow in a different way. And when I brought my director on board, Meredith Dobbs, who I'm very excited to work with, I started doing more rewrites. And as I was doing those rewrites, it was like, oh, I have to go into this even deeper. I have to go even more into my own pain and my own grief around, you know, the loss of my marriage and what that was like for me in order to get the script to the next level. And, you know, the process of crowdfunding is like brings up a whole bunch of other stuff. It's like, oh, what do I need to let go of? You know, not everyone, when we grow, unfortunately, we would love for everyone in our lives to be really able to go on that journey with us, but not everyone can. So, you know, you keep finding your people, right? And I think, you know, trusting that part of the process too is a huge lesson. And, you know, and it's like, I know it's going to keep going, you know, beyond crowdfunding and into shooting and into, you know, post-production. And then once we're like out on the festival circuit, like, you know, it's just going to keep growing. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it too. It's that, you know, I often I'm like, as much as I wanted to write and needed to write this project needed me to write it so that I could have the transformation that I've had.
I love that. Oh, I love that for you. And I'm so honored that I've been like any any part of a safe haven for you to be able to develop that.
Yeah, I definitely could not have done this without you. So a little backstory for listeners is that I started working with Emily, I think it was early 2021. So like we were in the middle of the pandemic and I was a part of her program, Power Club, which doesn't exist anymore. But it was a small group. But it was a small group of us who were, you know, writers and actors who were, you know, working on getting, you know, moving the needle in our career. And I was working on a different project. And I hated outlining, like,
I remember.
And I had written this sweeping project. It's a play called Not Exactly One Woman Show, but it was just so hard for me to finish it because I didn't have enough structure. So I was like being forced to create the structure after I'd already written so much. And Emily has taught me so much about structure and about, you know, building stronger characters. And, you know, like this project would not exist if I hadn't found Emily and started working with her for sure. So, yeah, I mean, I think like it's weird because one of the resources that came up while I was working on this film was this book written by Elise Lonen. It's just called On Our Best Behavior. And it's basically a breakdown of the seven sins and how that's affected how women show up in the world as being good. And so in sort of framing this and looking at this, it's like all of the little ways that we are trying to be good as women are actually restricting us from being in our full potential. This project is a, you know, it's a microcosm of that larger conversation. And, you know, hopefully these projects give people permission to take one more step towards shedding, you know, the people pleasing and the tendency to be good over really tapping into doing what they want to do and how they really want to show up in the world.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm so excited for you. This is like such a moment for you of stepping into your own power and embodying that authenticity. And I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
So as we wrap up, you're in the midst of a crowdfunding. Some of the support you might have thought you were going to get hasn't come through, but you're in the midst of like building a new community of people who really resonate with this work.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the status of your crowdfunding. How long is it lasting? And we'll put a note, we'll put a link in the show notes so they can see that video.
Yeah.
And they can contribute if you feel so called. And I hope that you do, because
yeah,
this is exactly the kind of film that needs crowdfunding.
Yeah.
It's powerful. It's pushing some buttons. It's the type of story that doesn't necessarily get told. So let's help Natalie tell it. Okay, I'm going to stop talking so you can talk.
Yeah, so we're about to head into week, oh my God, we're about to head into week three, and we are still around 15% funded. So we've got quite a ways to go. I really believe that we're going to get there because this, for me, is like a lot of times crowdfunding, they're like, well, it peaks at the top and then it dips in the middle and then it peaks at the end. Nope, this one for me is slow and steady. We're going to keep climbing. It's going to be like that parabola where it goes up, 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 up at the end. So that's why it's so important to kind of get the word out to the people that this story really resonates with. And so, yeah, I'm continuing to talk with people about partnerships and, you know, whether that's someone who, you know, wants to talk with me the way I'm speaking with Emily today about the project and sharing this project with their audiences, or it's someone who has some money to come on as an executive producer, or they want to, you know, do some product placement. There's definitely like lots of different ways that people can help. So, you know, obviously I would love for you to come on over and follow our campaign on Seed and Spark, you know, follow us on Instagram, we're The Spark Short, you know, share it with people. And I know that sometimes when the topic is about, you know, sexuality and pleasure, it might feel weird for you to share it as like a story to everyone you know, but that doesn't mean you can't share it. You know, forward it to your friends, send it to them in their DMs. You know, you can send them an email about it, because I think that the more we can talk about this with the people that are closest to us, then we create an environment where more people can talk about it in a more public way and not feel so worried about what other people are going to think about them, even just for like being like, yes, this film means something to me. If you're that person, please do share it loud and publicly. But I'm happy for support at any point, anywhere on that spectrum, because we need all of these voices to help get this film made and help get the word out and really, yeah, to really amplify this message.
Yeah. So we will put that link in the show notes and support. I really believe in you. I think this film is so important and I'm excited for you to get there. You're going to get there. I believe in you.
It's definitely going to happen.
Was there anything else before I let you go that you want to share for anyone who's thinking about writing a project, who's had an idea kicking around for a long time? What, now that you're on this side of the process, what might you share with somebody like that?
I think there's a couple things. First of all, I think it's really important to get started. It's really easy to let a project live in your head for a really long time. And really, until you get anything down on the page, it's still just an idea. And so I think that's the first part. The second part is really build your characters. I mean, I spent so much time building the characters of this film. But, you know, as I brought on my director and we were working through notes, she was like, you know, you really know your characters, like they're really strong. And it became clear to me that when I was on my director search, that was part of what, you know, made directors want to come onto this film, was because even if the script itself wasn't complete, they could see the seeds of it. They could see the strength of the characters. And then outlining. I mean, it's still not my favorite thing. It's still not my favorite tool. And I say like my outline has shifted a lot since I started writing it. But, you know, a lot of the things that like I threw away, I came back to, like it had all been in there at some point. It was a matter of like which pieces were working and which weren't. And I think that going through the process of outlining opens up your brain in a way that you can write that first draft with a lot more flow than I definitely could before, you know. So yeah, all of those tools are so, so helpful. And, you know, if you want to work with Emily, I can't recommend it enough. So, you know, I've learned so much about it. You know, part of it is you have to learn by doing it. It's like the tools are just the starting place. And, you know, if you tend to be like really flow-based person, which is where I was when I started working with Emily, it can feel a little bit, I don't know, discombobulating to try to move your creativity through that. But then when you get to the stage where you're on your, I'm currently on my seventh draft of my short, you get to that stage, you can really see how all of those tools are supporting you. So it's so much easier to go back and really find that sort of depth and nuance that you're looking to create.
Well, I'm so excited for you. You should feel incredibly proud of what you've created. And it's been such an honor to chat with you today about The Spark. And I really hope that this gets you some more funding so you can get closer to that green light and get this project out into the world.
Yes. Thank you so much, Emily. It's always good talking to you.
Thanks, Natalie. If you enjoyed the show, remember to subscribe and, even better, leave a 5-star review. Ready to finally write and produce your damn script already? Go to writeyourshort.com to get started and connect with me on Instagram at @TheOnlyEmilyGrace. Your story matters, and who better to tell it than you? Stay tuned for the next episode, and I'll see you there.